From WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting central and northern Michigan. Coming up on the show, Memorial Day is a big tourism weekend for northern Michigan, but many businesses are still dealing with damage from last month's floods, and that's keeping some sidelined.
Customers have called and said, don't even bother to put the boats in the water because we're not going to go boating this year.
More on how record flooding continues to impact people up north. And this week's Brain Teaser is a big deal this Memorial Day weekend in a tiny place. So stay with us for that. But first, these headlines. State regulators are closer to reissuing a water permit for the Line 5 tunnel project beneath the Straits of Mackinac. The permit would allow pipeline owner Enbridge Energy to discharge up to 5 million gallons of treated wastewater a day during tunneled construction. The Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy says public comment on the permit is open until the end of June. David Holtz is with the anti-Line 5 group, Oil and Water Don't Mix.
This is one part of the decision-making process in this. It's an important decision, but it's not a fundamentally decisive outcome.
Enbridge wants to replace the aging oil and natural gas liquids pipeline with a new segment buried under the lake bed. Company spokesperson Ryan Duffy says the tunnel is a common-sense solution that makes a safe pipeline safer. Enbridge is awaiting additional state and federal permits and a Michigan Supreme Court decision on a state permit. Mackinac Island will have full authority over all aspects of ferry services under a bill passed out of the GOP-controlled Michigan House Thursday afternoon. The bill passed amid a year-long court battle between Hoffman Marine, the owner of the ferry service, and the island. Recently, Hoffman threatened to cease operations if the two parties were unable to reach a new contract. The bill will only take effect if a majority of residents approve the measure because the legislation amends the island's current charter. Hoffman Marine did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Officials in both St. Ignace and Mackinac City denounced the bill because they will lose control of parking rates in their communities. The legislation now heads to Governor Gretchen Whitmer's desk. Michiganders would see their property taxes lowered under bills passed this week in the Michigan House of Representatives. As Colin Jackson reports, some fear that would come at the cost of schools and public services.
The nonpartisan House Fiscal Agency projects the bills would cost state and local governments billions of dollars in revenue. Republican House Speaker Matt Hall says he plans to replace that missing money with taxes on luxury services.
You're not going to get a deal on this property tax reform unless you have a balanced deal in a divided government with a Democrat governor and Democrat Senate. It will be balanced.
But Democratic State Representative Stephen Wooden says he doesn't see how.
The only way we're going to expand our sales tax on services in a way that fills a $5 billion hole is if we start taxing services that aren't luxuries.
Republican leaders say they expect the bills to factor into budget talks. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
After devastating floods ravaged mid-Michigan 6 years ago this past week, the work to restore the Sanford Dam is nearly complete. The water levels in Sanford Lake rose to the legal level in early May, opening the lake for community use just in time for summer. Dave Kepler is president of the Four Lakes Task Force, the group that owns the dams. He says the only thing they have left to do in Sanford is clean up the construction areas and debris left in the lake from the refilling process.
We don't want to come back twice, so the channels, especially the ones kind of at the downstream end of the lake by the dam, probably will be the last areas to clean out.
Kepler says work on the Smallwood and Secord dams will wrap up in a few months. Edenville, the biggest and most complicated dam, will be finished in 2027. After an icy winter, commercial ships on the Great Lakes lost nearly a third of their season due to delays. That's according to the Lake Carriers Association, which represents the interest of the Great Lakes shipping industry. They say the delays were caused by, quote, inadequate icebreaking by the U.S. Coast Guard. Kevin McCormick studies supply chain management at Northwood University. He says a lack of funding for more icebreakers on the Great Lakes could have negative impacts on the nation's economy.
And they had a icebreaker under consideration last year, and Congress said, well, we'll use the money somewhere else. So didn't spend a dime, and now it costs a dollar.
Funding for an icebreaker was in early versions of the Trump administration's Big Beautiful Bill, but was cut out in the final version that was signed into law last year. Data shows that 90% of the nation's iron ore passes through the Great Lakes. The U.S. Coast Guard did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Well, speaking of winter, falling ice on the Mackinac Bridge led to dozens of closures earlier this year. And as WCMU's David Nicholas reports, there's now an effort underway to study ice buildup on the Mighty Mack.
In a typical winter season, the bridge is closed a few times for falling ice. The winter of 2026 recorded 30 closures, with some lasting more than 30 hours. Now, Republican State Representative Parker Fairbairn from Harbor Springs has proposed a feasibility study by engineers from Michigan Tech University to analyze possible solutions to the ice issue. He says the $600,000 investment is worth it.
And you can count on it being open unless there's heavy, high winds. I think that's a real positive for our area and for both peninsulas.
The spending request has cleared the House as part of their proposed fiscal year 2027 budget. The chamber is negotiating with the Senate on a final budget to send to Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The Mackinac Bridge Authority says they support the study. I'm David Nicholas, WCMU News.
And now, it's time for this week's Brain Teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw. Today's is a Memorial Day Michigan destination trivia question. This northern Michigan military base is home to one of America's tiniest graveyards. Where is it? Again, this northern Michigan military base is home to one of America's tiniest graveyards. Where is it? We'll reveal the answer after this little break. Memorial Day weekend is big business in northern Michigan, but many small business owners are working through the consequences of widespread flooding that struck the region last month. Many people still haven't been able to access their homes due to high water levels. WCMU reporter A.J. Jones spoke with David Nicholas about how business owners along the Indian River in Sheboygan County are coping with damage.
So I'm curious, A.J., you've been talking to marinas in the area, and what are they dealing with ahead of the big holiday weekend and the boating season?
Well, David, in Tuscora Township, where Indian River is, that's in Sheboygan County, it's home to a lot of marinas. The widespread flooding has pushed back the opening dates for quite a lot of them. I spoke to Bob and Patty Murdoch. They run the Howe Marina. They service about 400 people per year. They say their business has been damaged by the high waters. They told me their service area, the boat slips, the gas pumps, they're all underwater. They expect to be open for business for the late season, but they said that this year will be a financial loss. Bob said this.
It's a big goose egg this year. We have a lot of our customers have called, said, don't even bother to put the boats in the water because we're not going to go boating this year.
In addition, erosion has washed away shorelines in some places, making it hard to even get boats in the water. It's worth noting that the Sheboygan County Sheriff's Office reopened the waterways last week, but they say boaters should be cautious and watch for debris. They should be careful to avoid excessive wakes because of erosion fears. And frankly, David, it's just not great condition to be out on the water in a boat.
Sounds as if that's indeed the case. Beyond the marinas, have we heard anything about the impact to short-term rentals?
Yeah, that's important because tourism in general is big business for the region. A lot of people will rent their houses out for the summer for the tourists that come up. I spoke with Vicki Morgan from the Indian River Chamber of Commerce, and she also says that some reservations have already been canceled in advance, and homes that are typically used for short-term rentals have been damaged by the flooding. She says the region is working together, but the summer tourism season will be harder this year.
We are looking at VRBOs, individual families who rent their places, hotels, motels, whitewater or water rafting, you know, just those kinds of things. Those will all be hugely impacted. I am foreseeing this to be a really tough season for most folks.
So often this becomes an issue in situations like this. I've heard that most people in the area don't have flood insurance. Why is that?
Yeah, and basically every interview I've done over the past month about this, it keeps coming up. People tell me that they don't have flood insurance. Well, the truth is, David, most Americans don't have flood insurance. Only about 4% of people nationwide do. Many people across the country either don't know their options or they just find it to be too expensive. But the primary reason I keep finding for this is that people just don't think they need flood insurance. So, you know, car insurance, for example, is quite pricey, but you really need car insurance, and everyone kind of understands that. But this flooding event in northern Michigan was extremely unprecedented. According to federal data, this was the wettest year to date over the past 132 years in most of the northern Lower Peninsula. It's also the wettest April ever in much of the region. Added with record snowfall in March, most people didn't expect this. You know, that's what I've been hearing. Bob Murdoch told me that he's been there every summer for 68 years on Indian River, and he's never seen this. In the Black Lake area in Sheboygan, I talked to John Mousseau. He's a homeowner who had his house completely flooded and ruined. He told me that he had had a home there since 1990, and he had never seen anything on that level. So I think for a lot of people, they just have never seen anything like this.
And so at this point, as we sit down today, it sounds like people are still very much in the midst of the cleanup phase nearly a month later.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. You know, a lot of the area is still under high waters. And like I said, there's still concerns about debris. Talking to Vicki Morgan, she told me that some people up there still have yet to get into their houses to start the recovery process. She also told me the Chamber of Commerce and Red Cross are currently delivering supplies. And this is everything from cleaning supplies to pumps, dehumidifiers, basic needs. What I'm watching closely is a potential federal disaster declaration. Right now, federal and state officials are surveying for damage across the region for a potential application, and that's crucial to getting people their FEMA compensation and low-interest business loans from the Small Business Association. Governor Whitmer, late last week, asked for an extension to make her request for those damages.
Sounds like it's going to be a long road back for many people. We'll hope that assistance gets there. A.J. Jones, thanks for your reporting on this.
Thank you.
That was WCMU reporter A.J. Jones speaking with David Nicholas. Now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's brain teaser. We picked out a Memorial Day Michigan destination trivia question. This northern Michigan military base is home to one of America's tiniest graveyards. Where is it? Again, this northern Michigan military base is home to one of America's tiniest graveyards. Where is it? And the answer is Grayling, Michigan. Tucked into a hill at the Hanson Hills Recreation Area in Grayling, it's near the Camp Grayling Military, and it is the Camp Grayling Military Cemetery that contains exactly two graves, Private First Class John A. Conroy, who died in 1927, and Private George A. Lane, who died in 1939 and was a part of Michigan's 125th Infantry Regiment. They were found by an Army captain on a training exercise in the 1950s after being forgotten for decades. But it will never be forgotten. That's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, radio.wcmu.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NAVIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer, and I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. And we honor all those who gave all during the Memorial Day weekend.